IT World presents The Rambling Rabbit, and I am the host, Happy KB. Hello, friends. Welcome to The Rambling Rabbit. This is Happy KB with the third episode. Yay! You know, I've been trying to do this episode for a couple weeks now. I finished the play that I was currently in, and then, you know, life just keeps on going as fast as it wants to and doesn't let you slow down. I went right into graduation for my 18-year-old daughter, who is now done with public school, and right now is just gonna take some time and figure out what she wants to do with life. I mean, she's got a lot of ideas, but she's just gonna take her time. She's gonna do something that her mom didn't do. After I graduated from high school, I went straight into college. And I'm not saying that was a bad thing, but I am saying that, you know, I think I may have done better with what I could have been doing if I would have just taken that time. But, you know, I don't really know that. I can't go back and change the past, and I sure can't couldn't foretell the future then either. I don't know what I was trying to say there, but whatever. So, you know, it is what it is, and I wouldn't be doing this, and I wouldn't be here, and if I would have maybe set out from college and went a whole different direction. So who knows? This is the path I was meant to tread, obviously. So, but that happened, and my days and my weeks just kind of got away from me, and I have been trying my darndest to figure out this recording stuff, to figure out how I can set this up to record so I can do interviews, because I've got a list of people that I'm wanting to sit down and do interview with. So that is the next thing that I'm going to try to figure out. This is all trial by error. It really is. So, you know, that's here I am. You get to listen to me ramble. If you don't want to, well, lucky you get to shut this podcast off. So that is where we're at with this. So, oh my goodness, there's been lots going on, and we are now into summer, and this is festival season, so I don't know who's out there going to festivals, but I'm sure some of you are, and that's cool. I hope we get to see some pictures and get to see some of the adventures. I know Gaia Gazing goes and does some festivals, and so does like Cosmic Fungi and some other really hip cats that go out there and boogie their butts off and have a good time. And I know they're out there representing us too, as they do it with their swag and their stickers and their necklaces and all the cool things that we've given from at DMT World for you guys being donors of the site to help us keep it running and out there spreading the good word. So I just want to let everybody know that my sticker campaign is still going on. I've got some out currently. I've gotten some really great pictures back so far. So I'm working on this project, still putting together the pictures that are getting sent to me of our logo that people are putting it up in different places. So if you are wanting to have some stickers so you can put it up where you live at, get a hold of me. You can either get a hold of me on the site through the message system, which is only able to be done on the mobile desktop and or the computer desktop. You cannot send messages through the app. Just remember that. You cannot send messages through the app. It has to be done through the mobile website, or you have to get on your computer and do it through the desktop site. So you can send me a message that way, or you can find me on Discord. We do have a Discord server for DMT World, and my actual handle is, you think I know this off the top of my head, it's capital Happy, capital KB, and then your little, I guess we call them a hashtag in 2023, but it's hashtag 8831. So if you want to find me, get me a hold of me that way. All I need is an address. I don't need anything else, just that you want to have some stickers sent to you so you can participate in this really cool project. I'm excited, as I've been sitting here trying to put some of these other pictures together. It's really neat. It's really neat to know that we've got people all over the world. We've got just it blows my mind. It really just blows my mind. So yeah, again, if you want to be part of that sticker campaign, send me a message. You can also email me at kb@dmtworld.net and tell me you want some stickers. Give me your address. I'd be happy to do it. So with that being said, I just clicked something on my desktop and not sure what it was doing, but it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. So, for those of you that are just tuning in to the Rambling Rabbit, this is the DMT World podcast, and I am Happy KB, the host of this podcast. And if you've never been to our website, you should join us. It is a psychedelic social network, and the way to find us is go to www.dmtworld.net. and sign up. It's totally free. You can sign up for this for free. You can get on. I just will let you know that it is not just a friends only platform. Once you get in there, you have access and get to see the main feed. There are groups. We have trip report sections. We have so many pictures and so much going on. We got polls that you can be a part of. Just come and join us if you have never been to DMT World and you are tuning in for the first time to this podcast. So, what has been going on lately? I've been digging through the site, looking at some just different stuff, and I think at this point in time, what I want to talk about that has to do with DMT World community is I'd like to talk about the groups. I'd like to talk about the group section. I have been looking at the groups. We got a lot of stuff going on. I realize that we have a lot of people that don't frequent our site anymore that did open some of these groups, and some of those I try to go in and I try to maintain, but I don't get to all of them. I had a conversation with a person the other day who wasn't too pleased because they've been waiting to get in a group and nothing's happening. I don't always know if you're trying to get into something and you want to get in a group and nobody's gotten you in. If you contact me and say, hey, I really want to be a part of this group. I've been waiting for X many days and nobody's helping me out. I can help you out with that. But again, like we have over 300 groups on the site, so I can't always maintain. I help admin a lot of them because a lot of the groups, people that open them just, they're not around anymore, so I think they're important, so I go in and I try to help them out. But here's the thing about groups, friends. Like, the only way groups are going to work is if people are actually in there posting content. Everybody gets excited about posting because you want everybody to see your stuff. But guess what? Here's a harsh truth, harsh reality. Not everybody likes to see all the stuff. I know. Then why is it the main feed to set up the way it is? Because it is. It's one way for people to meet each other. We switched the platform one time to friends only, and that was a disaster. Let me tell you, a disaster. So we keep it a main feed. That way when people get in, they can see what's going on. But we do have groups set up that are for specific topics. For instance, I have an LSD group that I like to go and post all this stuff that has to do with LSD in it. Because the purpose behind the groups is to keep things documented. And so people, it's easier for people to go find stuff like the DMT extraction group. And when people start asking questions, the first thing we do is tell them to go join that group because there's a lot of stuff in there people have put in there, taken the time to put in there, some of their own stuff, because sometimes not everybody wants to post everything on the main feed, so they put things in groups. I don't know if some of you have actually gone through some of the groups. There's a plethora of stuff. There's all kinds of interesting things in there. So that's, you know, I will never tell you how to run a group. I will never tell you where to post, but I will advise. A lot of people join these groups and then they get disappointed because there's nothing happening in them. There's no activity in there. There's nothing in them. And I also don't know if people understand or not that when you're in a group and somebody posts in a group, it pulls up in the main feed and it will actually tell you where that post is sitting at. So if you're in that group and you see it come across your main feed, it will have who posted it into what group. So that gives you an idea where they're sitting at. There are some groups on here that are open, that are an open group. Most of the music groups are an open public group, because I don't think anybody should be kept from music if they want it. I mean, most of us are part of those music groups anyways, but this way it helps with categorizing. Like, if you want to listen to jazz, if you want to listen to reggae, if you want to listen to hip-hop or whatnot, you can go to those groups or you can see them in that, and that you know what you're listening to. So that is one of my advice on the groups. Post in the groups so the groups are getting active and there's things happening in them. If not, then it's just like one big main feed, and what's the point of groups? So that's just some of my advice. You will, if you go and look in some of the groups, you'll see how much I do post in groups. And I do that because I wanted to help build content in it, and I also wanted to have people see that things are getting posted in there. So I do a lot of group posting because it's topic, and, you know, I've been building this site for 4 years, and I will continue to do that. So I will let you know, if you run a group, you can go and open a group for 72 hours, and then it is asked that that group is closed, that you close that group back to private, or back to a closed group. And if it doesn't get grouped, gets closed, I usually go in through and I close the groups that should be closed, and there I keep other groups that are open. But that just gives you an idea. If you're trying to promote your group, you're kind of trying to get people in that group for 72 hours, you can go in and you can open that group up so it shows up in the main feed. And then if people are interested right then and there, they can click that and that will accept them into that group. So just so you know, that is an option. Open your group up, let people see it, share your group so people can see it so they know that it's there. Because sometimes, especially when people first join the site, they don't go into the group section because they're still trying to figure out the app, trying to figure out what everything is. And some people don't go and get in there until somebody suggests it or whatever. And there are so many groups that people get a little overwhelmed and they're not sure what to go get into. So let's work on groups for me. Help me with that, because like I said, for documentation purposes, especially like the Schumann group, the Schumann 2.0 group, there are so many posts in there, but sometimes I think people forget about that group. So it is what it is. You can post and do it however you'd like to. That is completely fine. I just wanted to give a suggestion on that. Another thing I want to talk about with the groups is we need to get some cleanup going. I was looking. If you have a group and you've made a group and you're not maintaining that group, find somebody who wants to admin it, and that way they can help maintain it. Sometimes I know it gets a little overwhelming, or sometimes, you know, you may not be on the app that much or whatnot, and it's perfectly fine. There's no problems, but there are a bunch of groups in here that just, I will be honest, if I'm the one that's maintaining them, I'm not going to maintain it anymore. So there are just a bunch of stuff. And if you don't want the group around, you, by all means, you are more than, if it's your group, you can delete it. You do not have to keep it up there. It's your group. You can do whatever you want with it. But it's helpful if they're maintained. It's helpful if they're ran. I get a lot of people who just make groups and then just don't ever do anything with them. I've gotten grandfathered into a lot of these groups and just have been maintaining them. So if you need help and I'm not on there, ask me. I'll be happy to help you. Not a problem. I just have to be put on it as an admin. So yeah, let's help try to clean up some of these groups that are out there. We've got some dormant people. They don't come around anymore. So if you want a group, or you don't want a group, or you think you need help with it, absolutely let me know. I'd be happy to do it. This is what I do. I sit on this all day and I'm helping maintain it. So let me help you out. My next thing I want to talk about with comes to groups is I've really thought about these groups. I've thought about the meetup groups. I've thought about how we can do this better. I've thought about how we can utilize them better. So here's the thing. This is my suggestion. We get a lot of people who want to join groups, and it's great that people are checking it. And usually you can kind of tell if somebody's trying to get into all the groups and they just are, you can tell they're not from your area. By all means, you don't have to let them in the group, not at all. A lot of times I'm going to tell you that if you leave a message on the main feed, more than likely they're probably not going to answer you back. just because sometimes I think people feel like they're put on the spot. I don't know. What I'd like to see more with meetup groups is more communication in the groups with each other. We got to figure out how to really get things going in these meetup groups. One of the visions that I had for these groups is getting more stuff in there that's local. Let's talk about what's happening in your states, what's happening in your town, what's happening. You're going to go to a gathering, or there's an art fair, or there's something that you think people in that area and that meetup group would be interested in. Tell them about it. It's posting what's going on in that area. Get to know each other. Talk to each other. One of the main things I see that happens is people are always looking for other people, but that they don't talk to each other. Like, you're in Kansas and you're in the Kansas group and you get to chit-chatting or whatever. Let's talk. Like, we don't talk to each other much. So meetup groups are still, I think, an evolving thing. We're still trying to figure out how to do it, how to get it going. I have seen some that have been posting some of the festivals that are happening in the area. I got somebody else that I saw that was talking about getting together and doing a camp out or a mile. Just, I'm going to be here. Let's all get together. Like, that's encouraged. Let's keep working at it. Let's keep doing it, because you know that's what this community is, and there's a lot of us that we're all across the state, and I know there's more people that reside in Kansas, and I know we're all shy, but if you really want to meet up and we really want to do something, it doesn't have to meet up to, like, you know, meet up at somebody's house, meet up at I'm going to an art fair. If anybody wants, this is where I'll be at. Get to know each other, get to talking to each other. And that's these groups. I think part of it, for a long time, people just didn't, we didn't have the access to the groups in the main feed, and so you couldn't see what was going on. And I think that got us out of the habit of utilizing groups and talking group. But now that these groups come across our main feeds, there's absolutely no reason for us, if we're a part of those groups, to be utilizing them. So I will be doing some more brainstorming on this meetup, these meetups and groups, and how to, just trying to figure out the best way. I know some people are like, the idea of meeting up other people freaks them out. By all means, you do not have to meet up with people. You do not have to agree to go anywhere or whatever. But it, you know, there are a lot of people who do. If you know of festivals that are going in your area, in the meetup groups, post about it. Let other people know, because not everybody knows. And it doesn't have to just be about psychedelics. If it's about things that you know other people are interested in, let them know. Just post a link, post some information, whatever is going on. So, and keep your eyes out. If you're not going, but you know something else is happening, let people know. Everybody else might want to do that. So that's something I'm going to work more on in Kansas. And get some things generated and see if I can figure out some other better techniques. Other than that, what I'm seeing, I like seeing people trying to rally people around, and get them interested. So that's all I got to say about the groups. Just try to keep it consistent too, because if you're running a meetup group and you're not on the site a lot, and then you come on and you're trying to, it's hard. So employ people to help you out. It doesn't have to just be you who's running a group. It doesn't have to just be you who's admining a group either. You can have more than one admin on your specific group to help maintain the people that are trying to request it. And, you know, talk to each other and be like, hey, I'm going to look up some different stuff. And concerts, festivals, gatherings, for those states that have legalized some of this stuff. You guys have got groups. You've got meetups. You guys have got all kinds of stuff happening in your area. Those help those of us who don't know. So I know it's hard maintaining things and trying to get things done, but that's just some ideas and some advice for you guys to think about who run our meetup groups. So I appreciate everybody that is trying to run them and trying to stay on top of them, because, you know, it's good. It's real good. All right, on to my next thing. So to run this site, you know, it's really hard sometimes to do some upgrades and get some other things generated because sometimes we're low on those donations. We have to talk about it. The only way to keep this site maintenance, to keep this running, to keep this, everybody that works and volunteers on my staff, that's exactly what they do. They volunteer. Nobody gets paid to do this job. Not even yours truly. This is purely a labor of love. And everything that is donated to the site goes into the site. And what does that do? What does that help with? Well, that helps with paying for our server, paying for our services, paying for upgrades, getting new things going. With that being said, if you would like to help support the DMT World community, it is really simple. You can just go to our Patreon at patreon.com/DMT World, and it will bring you to our donation tiers. We have two donation tiers. Two of them. There used to be three. We've knocked it down to two. There is a merchant member tier, and there is a psychonaut tier. The merchant member tier is $5 a month, or you can save 10% if you pay annually. What does the merchant member tier do? The merchant member gain the member status of a merchant on DMT World Network. If you want to sell something such as your art, or you have a service that you offer, supporting us as a merchant will give you the next level. Only merchants and psychonauts can post something in the market. We do not allow any selling of subsistence or services which are considered illegal by United States federal law. $5 a month, you can join, be a merchant, you can sell out of our marketplace. You got some really neat stuff you want to start, try to get rid of, or you want to get our community to help put it in the marketplace. Once you've got it in that marketplace and it's approved, then you can, it's always in there until you take it out. It helps people find things on DMT World if they're looking for, or if it, you know, gives them other, you know, in the marketplace. There's all kinds of things. We've got all kinds of things that people in our community do. Bunch of artists, crafters, growers, you name it. They are all here. If you have not checked out the marketplace, please do spend some time on DMT World and check out that marketplace. See what some of our merchants do have to offer. Our second tier, which is the most popular tier we do offer, is the Psychonaut tier. This is $8 a month to join. Or, again, you can save 10% if you pay annually. What does this include? So with this tier, you gain the status of the Psychonaut and gain status to our Discord channel, Patreon only section, where you can chat in real time with other psychonauts and our development team, aka me. You also get an additional benefit with the DMT World Network, including larger file uploads for video, music, and post. Also, as a special access to the Psychonaut only giveaways, additionally, if you also gain merchant level status, allowing you to post in the merchant area. Last, you also get some of our unique DMT World gear. We have a necklace. We have a really cool necklace that has been designed specifically for DMT World, and you also get stickers in the mail with that. But if you sign up for the Psychonaut for $8 a month, donating to us, these are the perks that you get. If you have questions or you didn't want to listen to me read that, you can go on the Patreon, and it is all described there as well. Again, if you want to donate, help us donate and keep the community running, that is at patreon.com/DMTWorld. Okay, so with that being said, let's move on to my next order of business, which, again, we're still sitting on the site, and I would like to talk about our merch store. Everybody likes to wear our merchandise. Everybody likes to have some DMT World swag. I have been working on some new merchandise designs. You can actually go to our merch store. I will have these links that I'm mentioning in the description box of this on YouTube, and we'll put it in the Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast, so you can have access to it. If you'd like to have access to our merch store, you can get there by clicking the ad that is on our DMT World website, or you can go to dmtworld-2creator-spring.com. And that should take you there. But like I said, you can get on our website and you can click the advertisement and it will take you straight to our store. Or you can get a hold of me and I would be happy to share the link with you. There's a few things, some new stuff I've been looking at. Got some new things that I can design on. Right now there is a community beanie that I have put the embroidered logo on the front. There is a ball cap. They call it a dad's cap, and it is not fitted. I am so sorry. But it does. I did put the word Psychonaut on it. On the back, it is the DMC molecule symbol. We've got some tumblers. These tumblers are really cool. I'm trying to put some of our designs and things on it. You can start collecting it and have a bunch of a whole dinner set of DMT World tumblers. So that's in there. The hoodie. I'm a hoodie person. I don't know if you guys know this. I like pullover hoodies, but I really like zip-up hoodies. And we now can have a zip-up hoodie that has the DMT World logo on the back. On the front is just our, it says Psychonaut underneath it. So that's pretty cool. I'm pretty so stoked about that. There's some other stuff in there I've been working on, trying to get designs going on, that I just wanted you guys to know. Please check out the merchandise store, because there is new things that are going in. There's new things that are being created, and I want everybody to have access and see it. There is a discount code that I have put on there. It is 10% off of your order. So the code for that is EARLYBIRD at checkout. Just put EARLYBIRD and you get 10% off of your order. There is another new design that is in our merch store, which I wanted to talk about. And this is the Dr. Salamander's Lab shirt design. And it also, it's on a tumbler right now also, and you can get a slap. So this particular design was designed by our staff member, Donnie Brosco. He had asked me if he could create something, and if we'd be able to get it put on some merchandise. And I said, well, absolutely. So he presented me with the photo, and we came to a conclusion to call it Dr. Salamander's Lab, because he shared a story. He shared with me that this is a memory, a memorabilia. This is in memory and honor of a friend of his. The inspiration for this design was one of his friends. And I'm not going to go into the whole story, because I think that is Donnie's business. You know, he should get to tell more about this. But that's what I want to... This gentleman is no longer with us, who inspired this, who was this inspiration for this shirt. And this is Donnie's way of honoring him and giving him memory. And it also is a way for us to bring his friend, who is no longer with us, into our community and have him represented. So this is why this particular design is in here. And this friend of his is who showed him the love for mushrooms and cactus and psychedelics. And so it is my honor and my privilege to present this design, designed by Donnie Brosco, for his friend Salamander Shoelace. And that was this gentleman's name. So please go and check it out. There's a few other items in there that are, I've been just kind of reworking some things. It is summer, so I'm going to try to get some tank tops put back in there, and so everybody can be cool when they're out in the hot summer sun wearing our swag. So that's where we're at with that one. Please check out the store. It's really exciting when there's some new stuff in there. So just wanted to let you all in on what's happening with DMT World. All right, friends. So today, KB's Corner and the Rabbit Tales, we're going to talk about one of my favorite topics. And my favorite topic is Woodstock 99. So, I don't even know where to start with this, this story, but I don't even know if I'll be able to tell you the whole entire story, because it's been so many years, I'm not even really sure if I get the story right, but according to my friend, that's how I know pretty much what happened and what I went through. But so me and my roommate, his name is Bill, we lived in Chicago and we worked at a place called Joe's Crab Shack, one of my most favorite places to work. One reason, because I got to work in tie-dye. Best job I've ever had in my entire life. Well, maybe not the best job, but it was one of my favorite jobs. One day, me and my roommate, we were working, and I had another friend, and her name is Gina. We just call her G for short. And Gina was sitting there, and as I was walking across the floor, we saw an advertisement, and it was about Woodstock 99, and I remember her looking at me, and she was like, "Hey, KB." And she said, "You guys want to go to Woodstock 99? Now, to this day, I really don't know if she was joking or not, but let me tell you, we went to Woodstock 99. I looked at her and I told her, I said, "Hang on just a minute. Let me go talk to Bill and see what he wants to do." So I ran over to the bar because Bill was the bartender and I was a waitress. And I'm standing there and I'm like, "Hey." And he's like, "What?" And I'm like, "Do you want to go to Woodstock 99? And he's like, "Yeah, let's do it." I said, "Okay." So we went home that night. He called his mom, said, "Hey, do you mind if I charge these tickets on your AMX? And she said, "No, that would be perfectly fine." And of course, we were like, "We will pay you back. We promise you, we will pay you back." Just a side note, we never paid her back for those tickets, and she never asked for that money. So we actually got to go to Woodstock on my roommate's mom's dime. How cool is that? We brought that up several times, and she always tells us, "Well, it was a gift. I hope you enjoyed your time." Boy, howdy, we sure did. So, we, 3 tickets, Woodstock 99. Okay, how fun is that, right? So, since it was done with an AMX over the phone, we had to get it to where we had to pick them up at Will Call. And Will Call was right outside Rome, New York, at this casino. And, it was crazy, but yeah, that's where we had to pick up our tickets. So, my friend Gina, in a Toyota pickup truck, all squeezed in and drove from Chicago to Youngstown, Ohio. In Youngstown, Ohio, we stayed the night at my friend Gina's house. Had the best Italian food, authentic Italian food I've ever eaten, because, well, Gina was Italian, and she was also going to culinary school, so she was awesome. She was a great cook. She still is a great cook. In fact, that's what she still does. So we stayed at her parents' house, and then we got up the next morning, and we drove the rest of the way to Rome, New York, where we were about to experience Woodstock 99. So when we got there, we had to, I can't remember what the casino's name was. I'm sure it's somewhere in my memoirs. Going to the Will Call, pick up the tickets, and then drive into Rome, New York. Woodstock 99 was July 23rd, 24th, and 25th in 1999 at Griffiths Airport, Griffiths Park, used to be an Air Force base, in Rome, New York. It was pretty crazy. So we drove in Thursday night. We got up Wednesday, drove to Youngstown. Actually, let me back up. Let me explain this. So we worked at Joe's Crab Shack, right? We wanted to make sure we had extra money to spend on whatever. So we had decided that we were going to work 2 doubles at Joe's Crab Shack and then turn around and would go start driving to Woodstock. We did this. We worked these 2 doubles, and in between one of the doubles, we got our hair braided and all done, and then we finished it up, and then as soon as we got done, we jumped in the car, and we took off Thursday. No, I guess we took off Wednesday, got to Youngstown, and then got up Thursday and drove the rest of the way into Rome, New York. I'm going to tell you what. I was not prepared. I was not prepared for what I experienced at Woodstock 99. So when we got to Rome, New York, the craziest thing was that there were people everywhere. There were I don't think this town has seen as many people as there were, and there were people everywhere. They were sitting on the side of the roads. They were sitting as you're driving down the town. People are sitting there with selling water, selling ice, selling you name it, selling anything and everything they possibly thought that all these people that are coming to Woodstock 99 were going to want to buy before they got in there. So, no problem. We did that. The gates opened July 22nd at noon. So it was, I think we got in there probably about, we got there about 3. It took us till about 5 or 6, I think it was more like 6 o'clock, to just get into the parking area. And then we had to unload everything. But we wanted to make sure that we could go find a place to camp. And there were just tons of people. And they were, all this stuff people were bringing in. And I'm just being dumbfounded. So we grabbed our tickets. We grabbed our money and all that other stuff. And we went to go scout out things. So we weren't carrying a whole bunch of stuff and dying halfway there. So we got in. We got to where they took our tickets. And I remember, there were all these signs. You couldn't bring anything flammable. You couldn't bring anything to cook with. You couldn't bring, there was all these rules and regulations. And it was just things like, no, please, okay, on the brochure, this is what it says. Please leave at home. Alcohol beverages, illegal drugs, weapons, firearms, stoves and grills, metal objects, knives, axe, hatchets, shovels, pots, pans, lanterns, air horns, umbrellas, glass or metal can, bottle containers, fireworks, hazardous materials, fuel, video cameras, and tape recorders. See, they told us we can bring all this stuff. Lawn furniture, laser pointers, pets. Because of spoilage concerns, please do not bring perishable foods on site except for special dietary needs. That's the craziest shit I've ever read. Now that I sit here and I read that again, because you know what? First of all that stuff, they got in. Second of all, they handed candles out when we were there. So I can remember going through, let me read this to you. This brochure says, please bring your ticket. No one, regardless of age, will be permitted to enter the site without a ticket. Security will be tight. Okay, you want to know what? We went through this ticket booth. Do you think they checked our stuff? No, they like just barely padded down. There was 250,000 people so far at this that we went, and they were all trying to get at the gate at the same time. There was no way that they were telling people, you cannot bring this in. It never happened. I don't care what they said. That didn't happen. Also, no one gets in without a ticket. Well, you know what? My friend Gina, she walked in, showed them her ticket. They didn't even tear her ticket. They did not tear her ticket. She had a full intact ticket. Now, when we left and we were leaving, there were people that were out there that were trying to get in and didn't have tickets. She sold her ticket to somebody as we were walking out so they could get in. So, I mean, whatever. And they kept letting us back in and out. I mean, okay, whatever. They're like, bring sleeping bags, bed rolls, lightweight mats, small pillows, blankets, small pop-up tents, rain gear, my ass, there was no rain, it didn't rain, it was so hot, it was so hot at Griffith Air Force Base. What does it say? Slickers, small tarps, sunscreen. There were many fools walking around Woodstock 99 that looked like lobsters because they did not bring their sunscreen. But you know what? I had sunscreen. I was also tripped out of my mind. But I had sunscreen. And you know what? With this sunscreen, I walked up to so many people and slathered it on them because I was so concerned that some of these people were just going to be crispy critters by the time they woke up that next morning. My roommate calls me Florence Nightingale when I start tripping out, because all of a sudden everybody becomes so much more important to me, and I want to make sure everybody has a good time and is taken care of, and that's what I do. So I won't go on with these other things, but there was a bunch of BS, and Dylan is not to take this stuff, so whatever. So we got in, we're walking, we find a spot, we have some things, we brought in one tent. We brought both of our tents in. And we were going to go back out and get stuff, because we were going to find a place, stake the tent, and go back out. And then go back out and get the rest of it. Which, this is what we did. Now, let me tell you where we got the tent at. You know, we got to sleep on wood chips. Wood chips are not fun to sleep on, even if you have a sleeping bag and you have a tent and whatnot, because the area that they had us was just, it was ridiculous. It was uncomfortable, and it was tents upon tents upon tents, like thousands. I have pictures of just the sea of tents, and it's crazy. If you're watching the YouTube podcast, watching this on YouTube, you'll see the pictures of a lot of this stuff. So so we got in and we got our tents and we walked out and got the rest of our stuff, brought it back in, got set up. By this time it was dark, and my friend Gina, she wanted to find the beer garden. That was her thing. She liked to drink. And she was not a tripper. She had some bad experiences earlier on when she was younger with psychedelics and other people. And, like, it really turned her off from it. But she was a drinker, which was fine because there's plenty to drink at Woodstock 99. But, you know, there were beer gardens set up. So, you know, they're like, don't bring hard liquor in. Don't bring... Because they're going to get us completely sloshed and drunk, but they want us to buy it. Yeah, that's how that all worked. So don't bring this in, because we want to be able to feed you and charge you $9 for a burrito and $8 for a bottle of water and whatever. So, yeah, like, crazy. Anyways, so we got in there, and I remember we were walking around, and... we're over and we're looking at a, you're not going to get the whole story, because like I said, I can remember bits and pieces. You're going to get the highlights, or this is going to be like a 3-hour podcast. So we're standing, we're looking at merchandise, and we're looking at tie-dyes, because my friend's over there and she's looking at these tie-dyes. And she buys a tie-dye, and all of a sudden I can hear some music, and I'm like, oh, this is, wait a minute. And my roommate's over there dancing, and he looks at me, and he goes, isn't this... And I said, this is George Clinton. And the vendor's like, yeah, dude, he's right over there on the side stage. Did you know today's his birthday? And we're both like, what? So we turn around, and we walk over to the side stage. It's over there on July 22nd, which is George Clinton's birthday from the... P-Funk All-Stars. Just so you know, that's a little trivia. July 22nd is George Clinton's birthday. Anyways, so we walk over there, and we're standing there, and that stage, I could almost touch the front of that stage, and there's starting people that are, like, starting to come up, and they're playing, and we're grooving, and it was super cool, and I'm standing there, and all of a sudden, I look over next to me, and there is George Clinton standing next to me, and his dreads, and he's just singing, and I was just amazed. I was in heaven. My roommate and I had made a New Year's resolution that year that we were going to, so we lived in Chicago at this point in time, and George Clinton always played at the Cubby Bear, and we never made it to go see him the 2 years that we lived in Chicago, and which is stupid. And so we made a New Year's resolution that we were going to make it to see George Clinton. And here we were. We were at Woodstock 99, and it was the night before. It was a Thursday, July 22nd. Have I said that enough? July 22nd. And there he was standing right next to me. And I just remember reaching my hand out, and he, like, took my hand, and it was just, it was so cool, and I'm in awe, and I'm sitting there watching him walk up on stage, and then I look over, and all of a sudden, there's my friend Gina, and we're in the groove, and the next thing I know, there is this yellow thing falling from the sky, and it hits her in the head, and she goes down, and she's writhing in pain, she's got this split on her, and we can't figure out what the hell just hit her, so we're walking around, and all of a sudden, there's these yellow plastic things falling from the sky. And all of a sudden, there's these people, and they have these cardboard boxes. And they put them on their head, and they run out in the middle of all this. And then they're picking up. And you know what they were? They were Frisbees. They were free advertisement Woodstock 99 Frisbees. I still have the Frisbee that hit my friend in the head, and it's cracked, but yeah, I still have it. We had to take her to a medic tent because she got hit in the head, and she needed aspirin. And then when she went down, she actually scraped herself, and she was afraid that, you know, she's a Woodstock 99 with all these people. It's going to get infected. It was going to get gangrene. She was going to have to cut off the place where this abrasion or scraper or whatever it was at. It was something else. It took us a while to find the medic tent, but we finally found it. She wanted to go lay down, so she went back. We took her back to the tent, and my roommate and I walked back out, and we're standing there at a distance. And I'll tell you, it was quite the sight. I wish I would have taken a picture of it. And I haven't been able to find any video footage of that. Incidents happening because I don't know, but standing there, and all of a sudden you see all these yellow things flying. And what it was is people were standing out there, and they were picking them up, and they were tossing them in the air. Well, there was enough people that were doing this that tons of them would go up into the air. These stupid, silly people weren't thinking, well, what happens when these Frisbees come back down? Well, they smack the crap out of you in your head, and they give you a concussion is what they did. But what was really interesting was watching the scavengers. The scavengers that decided that they were going to go and collect all these yellow Frisbees that people were throwing around. And what they had done, like, they were freebies, like I said. And so, like, there were people that were handing them out as you were walking in. And a bunch of people would take a whole bunch of them, and then they would go out and they would just toss them. Well, the scavengers, like I said, let's go back to that word. The scavengers had the big cardboard boxes, you know, the ones I told you that ran out there with the cardboard boxes on their heads, and then they were collecting all these Frisbees. Well, some of these people were collecting all these Frisbees in these cardboard boxes, and they were taking them outside the gate where there were people waiting still to get in, and they were selling these free Frisbees because these people that were outside the gate had no clue that these free Frisbees were free. And so they were charging people as souvenirs for people to buy these free Frisbees that were being tossed around inside of the Griffiths Air Force Base. I will let you know, when we came in from that day, we were coming in as we were bringing our stuff from the car. When we had driven in, I had noticed that there was a fence, a big huge fence, like a wall that they had put up, a plywood wall they had put up around Griffith, and they had artists that had come in and painted these murals of, there was Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin and Jerry Garcia, and they were so beautiful. I remember looking at them, and I remember telling my roommate, hey, I wanted to come out and I wanted to take pictures of this because it was so beautiful. It was so beautiful. And outside those walls are the people who had no clue yet that they were gonna buy some free Frisbees for, like, I think it was like $2 or $3. I don't remember. Memorabilia. Well, I have a Frisbee, and I didn't pay anything for it. It's cracked because, well, it hit my friend in her head. So those were the Frisbees. And, that was just one of the things. So when we were walking back in, when we were trying to unload of our stuff into the tent, I will tell you, You saw it all. You just saw it all. I knew there was something weird in the air when, as we were driving in, that all you saw were posters and people that said, "Show me your boobies. Show me your titties." That was such a turnoff. That was the biggest turnoff, I think, going into Woodstock 99, because that set a precedence. That set a very uncomfortable feeling for me, because I wanted to go to Woodstock because, I don't know, I wanted to be a part of history, but I didn't want to be a part of crap history. And stuff like that was crap history. There were elements that you did see that you were like, eh. Like, you know, you did. You had your G-boys, you had your jocks, you had your guys out there that were just drinking a little too hard, partying a little too hard, you know, just vibing a little too hard. But then there were just as many people that were completely opposite. You had some good old hippies, you had... And, you know, the different side stages really played to the different people. So, I mean, it was all there. People wanna say, oh, well, it was just, you know, the era and it was all hard. And it wasn't as it was portrayed. There were elements of what those documentaries talked about. But there was so much more those documentaries didn't talk about. And that's where I hope people like me, who actually went and experienced the other part that was never talked about in these documentaries, actually come out and can tell their stories. So this is going to be a continuing story. I'm not going to sit here and bore you to death with my lengthy story of Woodstock 99, but I will continue this story because there's so much more to it than just, that was just Thursday, the night before, and I haven't even told you about walking around to the side stages and meeting this nurse named Hope, who we rolled with. And got to see the Jimi Hendrix laser light show with them and got to meet her friends. And then we walked around with a bunch of people who had volunteered for the cleanup crew and got to see the site, got to see the stages, both the two big stages, the two big stages up close and personal before everything happened that next day. So I will continue this Woodstock 99 story. Yeah, when we talk again, I will pick up where I left off. So I hope you're interested enough to continue listening to the Woodstock 99 story Kibi has to talk about. Gosh, and there's just so much that I don't even know, like, what I've missed and what I haven't missed. I may have to bring in my friend, Bill, who went to Woodstock 99 with me one of these times, and have him on the podcast so maybe he can fill in some of the holes, because there is so much. Tomorrow we'll talk about the Binky Water Patrol, KB and the Binky Water Patrol. That's quite an interesting story, and being interviewed by the news and her asking me, so why the pacifiers. So stay tuned. So I tell you what happened that Friday morning of the first day of Woodstock 99 on July 23rd. So I didn't realize that. I thought I could just tell you a little quick story about Woodstock 99 and get it all in. Well, and I've already spent 54 minutes on this podcast, and I don't think I've ever talked that long on the other two yet. So interesting. That means that's going to have to be a continuing story. So, the last thing I do want to talk about is, so I'm making plans, future plans. I'm still working on the DW Festival. I've gotten a little bit closer to maybe finding if not one, a couple of different places that one is over closer to the West Coast, and then there's one that's kind of here in the, gonna be in the Midwest area, and then I've got a friend over closer to the east side of the states that is trying to allocate some land for us to maybe have a gathering or the festival or whatnot. So these are things I'm still thinking about, people. I have no clue, honestly, how to even start putting a festival together. I've never put anything that big together before. I don't know. I don't know what I need. My first thing, though, is trying to secure a place. That's my very first thing. But past that, I don't really know what to do. So it's kind of trial by error. And, you know, the first one of whatever it is going to have, probably going to be small. And then maybe we can build. But I've got a lot of ideas, and I've got, but I just, I need some help. if anybody knows of anybody that knows how to do this, please reach out to me, and I need some advice. I don't even know where to begin. So, like I said, at the very beginning, we're going to try to keep it small and homegrown, maybe, and hopefully one of these days we can have a big, huge festival where we got to bring in all kinds of things and all kinds of people and make it huge and have artists and have musicians and whatnot. That's on the big scale. On the small scale, man, I just want to get together with a bunch of you, as many of you as I possibly can, and us have a good time and get to know each other and, I don't know, do some art, see some art, hear some art, jam. Got a lot of musicians in the community. We all sit down and just do it. So that's on my plan. I will tell you that come September, me and my child, my daughter, are trying to plan a trip. And we're trying to plan a trip to Ann Arbor, Michigan, because we are looking to go to the Ethiofest. The Ethiofest is September 17th at 1:11 p.m. It's at 913 South University Avenue in Ann Arbor, Michigan. This is a festival, but for that has to do with psychedelics. It's not a big, huge festival. It's not a go and camp and party and musicians and blah, 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 things like that. This is an amazing event that I would really like to go to because, this is hosted. The hosts of this Ethiofest, Decriminalize Nature Michigan, SAPS, Students Association for Psychedelic Studies, MICH, Michigan Initiative for Community Healing, MPS, Michigan Psychedelic Society, and SSDP, Students for Sensible Drug Policy of M Chapter. These are the people that are hosting this. There are so many speakers. There are performances. Like Jess Clayton, he is a keyboard artist. The Tamarin Institute. There is the layman. I don't even know how to pronounce this. But there are percussionists and musicians, and these are performers that will be there. There's just so much. I will post the link to this so people are aware of where it's at, if they can make it, if they want to make it, if they can go, if they can't go. I mean, I think it's something worth going and seeing it. And like I said, me and my daughter are going to try to get there. Here are some of the sponsors and community partners for this. Redemption Cannabis. Mission, former home of OHM, Michigan Progressive Health, PSI Labs, Blue Sage Health, Pot Farms, Hanotic Hemp, I don't know if I pronounced that right or not, Magic Moon Mushrooms, Greenway Financial, Reed and Weeds, The Mushroom Spore, Mushroom and Mycology, Erie, Adrian Sessi, Glenn, Great Lakes Expungent Network, Three Fates, Genesis Country Compassion Club, Caps and Gills, Tree to Table, Apothecare. There's this, that's not even half the sponsors. So these are sponsors. These are people that are going to be there. There's, I mean, so much is happening. And so if you can go, I mean, yeah, go. We'll be there. You can't miss me. I'm going to be in DMT World gear and tie-dyes. So there are several speakers that they have lined up, which I'm amazed. I mean, there's so much going on, and I just think it's great. So this is something that, like I said, me and my daughter are going to try to get to. So welcome. I would like to welcome everybody to come join us and be there with us, and let's get to experience this. This is also a way for all of us to network and get to know what else is out there and what's going on. So, well, friends, I didn't think I would be able to talk an hour and I don't know how many minutes it is. I'm pretty flabbergasted. Like I said, like, I've been trying to put this together and sit down and do this. And tonight was the night. And if you've made it this far, congratulations. And if you turned it off before you got here, well, you're never going to hear me say the rest of this. So, again, catch the next episode to continue the story of Woodstock 99. We'll actually talk about that first Friday when we got up and started experiencing the beginning of Woodstock 99. It's pretty mind-blowing. So, all right, friends, it's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun. keep ascending, friends.